Say hello, my brothers and sisters. We're going to go ahead and get this study started. We thank God for you. Go ahead and pray. Father Heaven, thank you for another opportunity to come and share the word of truth, right and divided, with our brothers and sisters. And we pray as we study together, Lord, that we are edified in your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, this study we're going to be doing, should we pray for God to give our leaders wisdom? And it's going to be probably part one, part two. But according, we're going to get going, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the Word, the Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took on flesh to die as man, to shed his sinless blood, to forgive you all of your sins, past, present, and future. On the third day, he resurrected in great power in order to justify you. Jesus Christ, he was under no obligation. But he did it because of his grace when you were not interested in reconciliation with him. This is what God did for us, my brothers and sisters. When you were on your way to hell, he threw out a lifesaver. Now, there is an evangelist named D.L. Moody. A long time ago, he used to tell about a picture that impressed him greatly. It portrayed a woman grasping a cross with both hands as she was being rescued from a stormy sea. Mr. Moody would then go on to relate how that picture lost much of its impact for him when he saw another painting sometime later. The second picture also depicted a woman being rescued from raging waters, but while clinging with one hand to a cross, her other hand was lifting another person out of the waves to safety. That picture dramatically portrays what we should be doing. Since we ourselves have been rescued from the penalty of our sins, by believing in the finished work at Calvary's cross, recognizing that others around us are lost and perishing, we should not be so selfishly taken up with our own salvation that we forget about them. Trust in Christ Jesus alone, and he will save you forever. Set aside your pride and take it by faith, God's pure abounding grace. We cannot look down on the world. We are humbly kneeling at the foot of the cross. We cannot look down on the world. We're like I told folks once again, the cross work is all we need. It is accomplished. It is finished, my brothers and sisters. Christ is all that he claimed to be and more. He is our joy, contentment, and fulfillment. You may feel lonely, but if you have Christ, you are never forsaken. You may be overwhelmed with sorrow, but if you have the Lord Jesus, you are never without hope. You may be penniless, but if you have Christ, you have eternal riches untold, in whom Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:3-9. Should we pray for God to give our leaders wisdom? Ephesians 5:15-17, Paul talks about, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, he said, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. That's Ephesians 5:15-17. My brothers and sisters, there is no question in my mind that we live in a world full of fools. It's a fool's world. In fact, everyone born in this world comes in with a terminal state of foolishness, otherwise known as the sin nature. That's how it is. Man is born a fool. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Man is born in a state of foolishness. Now you say, what do you mean by that? When we think of a fool, we think of someone who does irresponsible acts or who speaks irresponsible words. But the Bible defines a fool as one who exists apart from God. A fool is one who exists apart from God. A wise man is one who lives in accord with God's divine principles. Yes, he does. That's biblical definition for those two concepts. Man then is born separated from God. He is born a fool. He is born into a situation where God's wisdom is absent. Psalms 14:1 gives us a basic definition for a fool. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Even though the fool may know in his mind, intellectually, there is a God, He lives as if there is not, and that's why the next verse on the next line of the same verse says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eye. And so he becomes the one who determines truth and error. He then becomes the one who articulates for his own way of living right and wrong. We can be a fool by not believing. Just don't believe his book. Just don't take God at his word. You're a fool. You're playing a fool. And even Christians say, well, I know the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says that, but I don't know if it will work. You can play the fool by not believing. So I say you can play the fool by disbelief. You can play the fool by disobedience. Paul told the Galatians, O fool of Galatians, who has betwixt you, that you should not obey the truth, Galatians chapter 3. Who messed you up, Paul said? You started out well, and then you got into this work stuff. You see, you can play the fool by disbelief and disobedience. And you can play the fool by desire for the wrong things. Paul in chapter 6 says that if you desire money, you will fall in many foolish and hurtful lusts. You desire the wrong things, you can play the fool. It is a sad thing that we see so many Christians this way. There are Christians who do not really take God at his word. They don't believe the Holy Bible. They say they do. They don't take God at his word. There are Christians who disobey habitually. There are Christians who desire the things of the world. There are Christians whose life works do not manifest wisdom. And Paul is saying, this makes no sense. Why should Christians live as blind, ignorant, foolish people when we have wisdom? It amazes me how devoted we are in our human society. The things that we can put our mind and set our mind to and dedicate, but we don't have time for God's words. People who can discipline themselves to feed on the word of God, they don't do that. But they can make themselves a diet that takes 2 or 3 hours to prepare for every meal. They can put so much into working out. They can dedicate all that time, 2 or 3 hours. But when it comes down to God's word, they are not disciplined to open it up and see what God's word is saying to us. They have this self-discipline. And these are religious folks, who put so much time into other things that's not important. It's not important as the word of God. One of the things Paul makes clear in his writing, that great wisdom and knowledge of God is not something that is unattainable here in this present life on earth. Thus he prays continually for our wisdom and understanding of the Lord. In Ephesians 1:16-19, in Paul's prayer, you read that. Paul is saying that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled all the fullness of God. Go back and read those verses. That was just portion of that I read in Ephesians 1:16-19. Paul does not desire to remain ignorant, wading around in shallow waters of understanding. He wants us to have a deep understanding of God, even to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Dear friends, the only way God imparts wisdom is when people open the Bibles and read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Scripture also emphatically teaches that the authentic wisdom starts in the realm of the spiritual things. Thus, when Solomon wrote, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, Proverbs 4:7, he was urging us to seek God's wisdom. The wisdom we need most cannot be acquired through science, philosophy, or the arts. True wisdom comes from God. True wisdom comes from God by revelation, my brother, sister. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask to God. God's wisdom is pure and perfect. Human wisdom is always tainted with sin and foolishness. So that's James 1:5. At last, let him ask of God. Moral judgment that rely on human wisdom are downright dangerous. Clearly, the human race is in this fallen state is drawn to folly, not wisdom. It is a common practice for people to ask God for wisdom, but they never actually read his word like I said, men in the body of Christ that believe that all politicians and governmental leaders are saved, and many times that's not the case. Many think because they say they are Christians that they have knowledge of God's word. If we are not willing to take the time to flip through the pages of Scripture, study and read those verses, then we really have no interest in gaining God's wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Be patient in reading and learning God's word, right and divided in the Bible. The Scripture contains instructions, warning, and guidance on how we should live and walk on the earth. The more you know the words of God and walk in them, the more you will be wise. Wisdom is found in the knowledge of Scripture truth, which brings salvation. You see, it is the saving act that brings salvation. The only thing that can cause the individual to cease being a fool and become wise is salvation. When you became a Christian, you became wise. When you became a Christian, you stopped being a fool and you became one of God's wise children. The world cannot walk humbly. It is a mad fight for everyone's right. They don't know the meaning of humility. The world cannot walk in unity. It celebrates its differences. It exalts disparities. And the world cannot love because it doesn't have the life of God. And God is love. And apart from him, there is no real love. And the world cannot know light because in itself, it is a system of self-damning darkness. Paul said it. They are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know a lot, but we don't know God's wisdom, not our society, because the wisdom of God is unattainable to a fool. Moreover, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. In other words, our need for wisdom ought to motivate us to turn to God, and those who refuse to turn to God have no hope of ever being truly wise. True wisdom, that is the ultimate truth regarding God, man, destiny, all of that salvation is not known to man's blind, to man's mind. Yet all the religions of the world are efforts on the part of man to discover God, to define God. Christianity say you can't find God, he found you. The Son of Man has come to what? Seek who is lost. We always give testimonies. I found the Lord. But he wasn't lost. He found you. If you had to be looking for him, you had a mess because you couldn't find him. Thank God he came and found us, my brothers and sisters. Now, like I said earlier, many politician leaders and government officials are not saved. They are what the Bible calls the natural man. The natural man, the fleshly man. The man who's this human, all he's got is he's human. He lives in the physical, material world. He can't know God, and he can't sense God, can't get out of his little box, receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. You can hand them a Bible, stick it under their nose, and it doesn't make any difference. They don't understand it, don't know what's going on. To them, it's all foolish. They can't know it because it is spiritually evaluated. It is spiritually appraised, spiritually judged, spiritually discerned, and they are spiritually dead, my brothers and sisters. It isn't just that God gave the law. God also has opened the eyes of our understanding. The Spirit has to illuminate the mind. Truth is available, but only those who are illumined will understand that truth. The natural man, he can't handle it. He's without the Holy Spirit. He may have it in his hand. It doesn't make any sense. My brothers and sisters, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's like a log or a stone. He's like a lifeless statue, which uses neither eyes nor mouth, neither senses nor hear, unless he is enlightened, converted and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't know the truth. The world can't know the truth. You know the truth because the Spirit of God dwells in you and teaches you the truth and make this book alive. We can appraise it. We can evaluate it. And the point of reference is in us. 1 Corinthians 12:12-15, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Verse 15 says, yet he himself is judge of no man, but we have the mind of Christ. Yet he himself is judge of no man. We can appraise because we are spiritual, but nobody can appraise us. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is for the world to evaluate Christians? They don't know what we are. Well, who do you think you are? They think you know everything. Yeah, there is no way that a natural man can evaluate a spiritual one. He can't know us. He can't know us any better than he know Christ. What did they do to Christ? Crucified him. What are they going to do to us? Much the same. Laugh at us, mock at us, call us fools. In some places, they kill us. And the reason is, my brothers and sisters, is because we have the mind of Christ. You listen. And Paul had quoted, he quoted Isaiah 40:13 to support his view in verse 16 for what we just read of Corinthians. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, nobody can judge a spiritual man. For to do that would to be to judge the Lord himself. Do you see in that verse, who knows the mind of the Lord? We have that mind. Brothers and sisters, they can't figure us out because they couldn't figure him out. Isn't that nice to know that the reason we are confusing is because we have the mind of Christ. We are as big of a mystery to the world as Christ was. That's kind of nice company to be in, my brothers and sisters. When we start asking God to give governmental leaders and physicians wisdom to undertake challenges, we are making two mistakes. Firstly, we are really cheapening prayer for those in authority. Secondly, we are saying God speaks outside the Bible. And this is where many cults insert their leaders' inspired literature. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6, you should read those verses. Paul talks about, he said, I exhort, therefore, first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What would God have us pray concerning our leaders, that they would gain his wisdom? No, the context of Jesus Christ's finished cross work. God's primary concern is not that governmental leaders are making poor decisions. His chief concern is that they are lost and headed for hell. God's word right divide is the only way Christians can start praying like intelligent and biblical informed people. Governmental leaders are most useful to God once they are members of the church, the body of Christ. God does not fill lost people with his Holy Spirit. After they trust the gospel grace, then he can and will work in and through them to make wise decisions if they read and study his word and walk in his word. Here's the blunt reality. What we need to pray is that governmental leaders would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and that those who are saved would study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pray that those who are saved would get the right doctrine inside of them and walk in it. If we want God's wisdom, we need to read the Bible, especially Paul's epistles of Romans through Philemon, of what God is doing today in the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. Ephesians 3:4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The wisdom we need most urgently from God is by no means hidden from us. God has revealed it in his word and distilled it for us in the gospel message. Wisdom starts with the only answer to our sin. Forgiveness bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we study together that we will edify it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and we will continue part two on this message next week. Thank you for the time, my brothers and sisters.